joy expression. And then they're like these eyes, and I keep on singing. What can I say? Let's just keep on praising God. Mercy of the Lord, our steadfast love of the Lord, never ceases. Yeah. Let's read from John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Part of it. God give me grace and try and unpack something that the Lord, I believe, has been speaking to me over some time. I read from verse 7, chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known this Jesus speaking, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father. The Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16, this is what I want to emphasize a little bit. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is Jesus, before he's gone to the cross. Telling the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. One more verse from Corinthians. You don't have to turn down, let's just one small verse. One Corinthians 15, verse 45, and then it's written here. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. This word was just keep coming to me all over some time. And you know, you just carry that word. And I was thinking about how Jesus, when Adam, the first Adam, when God created him, God breathed into his nostrils, breath of life, and it says he became living soul, his life. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, something else happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes upon him, and the Son of God is raised from the dead, and from there he becomes the life-giving spirit. And I was thinking, Jesus, it's not just the word of God becomes incarnate, becomes blood and flesh in us, and as we walk and begin to experience that it is real. And I was thinking, how true is that word that Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead, again and again and again breathes his life, his resurrection life. The Holy Spirit that came upon him to raise from the dead is the Spirit of resurrection. So that they raised from the dead. So, you know, so the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, that God works in us, is you've experienced better. Just so many times, God comes. Jesus, the risen Savior, breathes life into you again. And you rise. And you walk it. And I was thinking, this is what Jesus does. You know, he said, because I live, you will live also. I'm thinking, this is so real. The longer I walk with God, I'm thinking the word of God really is not incomplete. It is alive. Jesus is the living word. And when we receive it into our life, the word of God becomes, the living word becomes incarnate in our life. And we live. Sunday school teaching that, oh, this is Garden of Gethsemane. Straight into her eyes, he said, this is it. I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. And she said, then just in the dream, she broke down and began to cry and weep. And she woke up and she kept on crying and weeping. She did it for hours. And then she was okay. And she could walk out of the bedroom. And she could live her life again. And me as a young, very young person, probably, I don't know, 10, 11, 12. And I thought, wow. And this exemplified for me. The psychologist was saying, I don't know what to make of this.
In the beginning, she told me focus 5 minutes.
strong as she had. She could only focus 5 minutes, she had to walk out because she can't take any more preaching, any more songs. By the time I think she was with us for six months or maybe 1 year, she could sit all the way through. You know how long Paul preaches. She could sit all the way through the hours of preaching and listen and then sing and sit down and have discussion. And then she took us to her husband's deathbed because he was dying of alcoholism. And so before we went, Paul and I prayed. I said, Lord, he's unconscious, so I guess we can speak to him, but would you please give him 5 minutes of consciousness? Or would you give him some help? Let him hear. So his name was Paul. So we went, and he was like the skin and bones, and you know.
Yellow.
Yeah, it was so yellow, yeah, skin and bones, and like, I thought, there's no way this man can hear. But Paul took his hand and we prayed that, Lord, just wake him up, Paul, just a few minutes. And he woke up. Yeah. And so Paul took his hand and said, Paul, Jesus loves you. Jesus saves you. Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? And he gripped Paul's hand. Yes, yes, I believe. He didn't, I think, so was very, so we made it pretty certain he was saved. And then he passed away. And I was, it just those experiences, you know, reminds me of all the mercy of God that goes and finds these people that we will miss because we just don't have that range of hearing, see. But Jesus does not miss. And Jesus hears the faintest moaning cry that we sometimes can't even say, because when you are too distressed, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't pray. What words do you say? It's in here. You can only moan and groan. And Jesus hears. Jesus hears. And he comes to your rescue. Yeah? He's your Savior. Not only to save you from hell, but to save you from every ditch and every hole and everything that you may fall into. In every step of the journey of our life, he's there to save us, rescue us. He brings life into us and arise and leave. And I'm so thankful to God that he says, because I believe, you will live also. I believe it, you believe it, I believe it. Amen. Amen. And I remember, was there a time in your life when maybe things were so dark? And did you feel like an orphan? So alone. Nobody to help. Not because people don't want to exactly help, but they don't know even how to help. There's sometimes you can't even share what's going on because who will understand? Who will understand? Unless you go through it, how can you understand? And Jesus, and I'm so struck by these words of Jesus. He says, I will not leave as orphans. I will come to you. Do you hear Jesus? Do you hear Jesus? He says, I will not leave as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. How does he come? I will ask from the Father another help. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the world does not know him, does not see him, but you know him. Because he will be in you, he'll be with you, he'll be in you, and abide with you forever. This is the Spirit that Jesus sends from the Father. The promise of the Spirit of God, Jesus receives from the Father and sends to us in his name. It's the Spirit of the Son. Spirit of the Son. That's why those of us who are in the camp, we talked a lot about sonship. That's why Apostle Paul says in Galatians and Romans, when we receive the Spirit of the Son, Jesus Christ, and by that Spirit of the Son, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba. I was thinking about this word, Abba, Father. And so I get a little bit in Mark chapter 14, that one time that Jesus called up to God and said, Abba, Father. You know, when he did it? He did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me read to you. I think it's Mark 14. Because it really struck me about how we are to learn to be intimate with the Father. How do we do it? I that's one of my goals. So I'll read from John chapter 40, verse 32. They came to it, so this is after the Lord's Supper. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. Jesus the Son of God, very distressed and troubled. Verse 34, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I do, but what you do. I'll just read a little bit one more time from verse 36, 35. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. So I was thinking, when did Jesus call his Father? At least where it's recorded in the scriptures. Maybe he did it in other places, but in the scriptures, the place where he calls upon his Father and says, Abba, Father, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, he fell to the ground. You know, Jews in the scriptures, when they prayed, they stood up, raised their eyes to heaven, and prayed. But Jesus is so distressed and troubled, so grieved in his spirit, that he falls on his face to the ground. He begins to pray. Have you done that? I think if you walk with the Lord long enough, you do come to a place where you do fall on your face. I'm not in worship, but sometimes it's like,
let's go.
concept of intimacy. I mean, intimacy is a word that the Holy Spirit is breathing upon. So that word intimacy it takes a meaning when we sing and when we pray and when we hear the word of God. It's why the Holy Spirit is emphasizing that God desires the intimate walk with His people. So we can see the songs that are coming out, the preaching that's coming out, the bride of Jesus Christ, intimate walk. Someone said intimacy is spelled into me. try it up now.
Say it.
Hmm?
Say it.
Say it. Revealed, he has executed me. I've got to know. Father is that I and the Father are one. So in the Bible college, you know, I don't know if you're like me, I tend to ask questions that be dumb, that reveals how ignorant I am. But it's okay. Unless you show your ignorance, you won't learn. So I remember in one of the theology class, you know, we talk about Trinity and all that. I just can't figure it out. So, do we have three gods? Bless me, you know? The Bible teaches to bless me. But I can't say it. And I remember the Bible college, the lecturer, was saying, two people said, because there's no way to explain fully this mystery of Godhead, but one person said, it's like one person, three centers of consciousness. I said, okay, this still sounds weird. It sounds not kind of schizophrenic, you know? You know, I understand God's mystery there, but there's no way I can understand. But I would, hey, you want to know a little bit, you know, a little bit better, where I go. And another person said, there's a theological term that I didn't really study, but I heard it. Yeah, he said, interpenetration of Trinity, meaning the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not a static oneness, but they are interpenetrating. They're penetrating one another deeply and constantly interacting. I thought, that actually sounds more likely. That it sounds more I can relate to better. And I was, after the LL camp, I was sitting in the, where was I sitting? I was sitting in the prayer room. Sitting in the prayer room. I think it was this, the 7 to 10 worship group. I think it was there. And as I was sitting there, suddenly I felt the Holy, I mean, I'll just share this with you and leave it with you and I'll wrap up. Suddenly I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and expand the invitation that ask Jesus to reveal the Father. Ask Jesus to lead you to the Father. And I felt this invitation was being widened for me. If I'm willing to take it, then I feel he was inviting me into the relationship of the triune God. The mystery of the Godhead. I mean, I don't want to call it sounds weird. I don't know God, that mystery or that, but I don't know how to say it. The relationship that exists between the three persons in the Godhead that is both mystical, but I think that if we can see a little bit of it, I think we'll understand the fullness of what it means to live and what it really means. Intimacy. How does the Son and the Father, the Holy Spirit, how do they relate? And so I thought, Lord, I want to study the Gospel of John. And one last thing that I'll just share this with you. And it occurred to me in the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus was resurrected, he came out, you know, Mary Magdalene saw him first. And the women saw him. The disciples saw him. And the 500 saw him. But the actual resurrection of Jesus, as far as I can see in the scriptures, no human eyes have witnessed. It was, you know, Apostle Paul was talking about this. I'm thinking, oh, this man had revelation from the Lord. He talked about the resurrection of Jesus, the power of God that came upon Jesus when he raised his son from the dead. You know, if you read Apostle Paul, how he talks again and again and again about the resurrection, you know, that he was raised from the dead. Why? Because he's God, I think, invited Apostle Paul. And brought him into an intimate chamber room of God and showed him something no human eyes saw. That's my conjecture in faith. That in the tomb where Jesus' body lay, on the third day, God sent the Spirit of resurrection. And power came and raised him from the dead. All the way. The right hand of God, of all principalities and powers and names and titles, anything and everything, all the all rulership. Jesus is exalted to the highest place next to the right hand of God. And but you know, the Bible says in Psalm 2 says, "You are my son, Today, I've got in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, he's talking about Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus raised, when God raised him from the dead, according to the scriptures, he says, he then they quote Psalm 2000. You are my son. Today, I've got that resurrection of Jesus in that tomb, that dark place, was a, you know, when you give birth, it's a very intimate thing, isn't it? You don't need the very necessary people in it. that's the way it is, yeah. I personally think this resurrection, this raising up of the Son of God by the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, very, very intimate event in the history of, I don't know how to say, reverently, in the history of Godhead, if I can put it that way. And it's not for human consumption. It's an intimate act between the Trinity. And I think God invited all the apostles who loved Jesus that I may know Jesus. His life's called that I may know Christ. And the power of his resurrection. Fellowship with his sufferings, being conformed even to his death. This was the heart of Apostle Paul. And I believe this man was invited by the Lord into the triune God's relationship. And Apostle Paul saw what God did, what God did when he raised his son from the dead. Spirit of God. So he writes so much of that, talks so much of that. His life, I think, was instantly consumed with the power and the glory of what he saw. And so I've been praying, Lord, can I ask you a favor? Can I ask you a really big favor? Will you give me the faith, like the mercy, the grace you gave me to Apostle Paul and to Apostle John? So that I may see, that I may have revelation, that you invite me into to see, to know God so intimately, in a way, except by the invitation and then the act of God. It can be done by human. No Bible study can do it. You do, I study Bible, but it takes more than the Bible study. It takes Spirit that takes God and his invitation and his grace. Amen. Why don't I stop here? I'll pray and then I'll ask Paul to take over. Yeah? Yeah. So Father, in Jesus' name, your Son, the Son, Lord, we come. And we ask that you reveal to us. That you reveal to us the Father. That you lead us to the Father. And then, Lord, that you bring us into the relationship with the Triune God that Jesus, that you have taught. I am in love. You are in me. And I am in you. And the helper that I send in my name, the Father sends in my name, he will be with you and in you abiding forever. So Lord, we see the invitation of the Triune God inviting us to walk, live, and breathe in the relationship with yourself. And Lord, we pray, Lord, lead us and reveal to us. Oh, the fullness of what inspires in you, what in your heart. In Jesus' name we pray.
Knowing God is there. now my vision. Say, Lord Jesus, you be my vision, my life. Words will come up soon. Let's make there.